Welcome to the dynamic teaching of Pastor Nife Ibiemi, Lead Pastor of Love Dominion Assembly International. It is his vision to unveil the culture of Zion through the word and discipleship. Ready, set, grow.
You will begin to experience wholeness in your body now. In the name of Jesus, be restored. Be whole. Be complete. Be complete in the name of Jesus. Be whole in the name of Jesus. Kata kos kibadas kita. Yes, the anointing of the Spirit is touching you right now. Touching you right now. Touching you right now. Touching you right now. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. You can have your seat. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just need to quickly do that. Okay. Is it not working? Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. Hallelujah. Yes, so just do it quickly. Amen. Yes, 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 yes. I'm a son of God. I am a son of God. Praise God. You know, I was saying this during the meeting in the morning, and I said some words. I said, only the living can praise the Lord. Amen. And that's why sometimes when you are in God, when you are in the church, you have to, it is good to express yourself. I mean, because you are alive. Only the living can praise the Lord. They that are in the grave cannot utter. Their bodies are dead. They cannot utter words. And that's why it is good to always shout the praises of God. Amen. The Bible, you know, the Bible always talk about a joyful noise. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. When the people of God, they, you know, they went through Jericho 7 times. And at the 7th time, they shouted. Praise God. It is good to say, to speak, to utter glory to God. Yeah, so we go straight to the word. We're looking at the Father's Son. Amen. Or better still, you are your Father's son. Amen. You are your Father's, or better still, you are your Father's child. Okay? Or you are your Father's son. Or you can put it like this, like Father, like. Amen. Okay, but it's just that the explanation is not in that direction, but the entire teaching is going to be around, you know, the sonship of God, or the sonship, or sonship. Oh, so you can say this way, say, I'm a son of God. All right, I know, like I told us, some of us, sometimes it's very difficult for us to utter that word because you are a female, okay? Now, in this context, we're not talking about gender, all right? So you say, you are a son of God, say, I'm a daughter of God. No, okay? It's still, it depends on context anyway, but you are actually a son of God. Say, I'm a son of God. So the context of this is not about gender. Okay, about gender, you are a son of God. You are a son of God. God is your father. Glory to God. Say, God is my father. Okay, good. So we're going to look at something here. It's going to be a little bit, man. It's supposed to be long, but let's see how the Spirit of God will lead us. And hopefully from this teaching, okay, by the way, I will be receiving a friend of mine. He's going to be ministering in church next Sunday, Pastor Johan from Armenia. And I'm seriously expectant. I mean, he's a blessed man, anointed of God, like full of the Spirit. And the prophetic is also sharp. So we're going to be receiving him next Sunday. Please do well. Invite your friends. Invite those that you have not seen in church for a long time. Tell them to come to church. I know a lot of people have traveled for the break, okay? But do well, invite people. Next Sunday is also going to be a power-packed meeting. by the grace of God. Now, let's jump to Hebrews 12. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Amen. Amen. Hebrews and chapter 12. So we're looking at like father, like son, or better still, you are your father's son. Okay? You are your father's what? Son. So say this, we say, I am my father's son. Oh, okay, better still. I think a very good topic that will not make you forget is that I am not a bastard. Okay? Amen. So you have to write it. So when you write the topic, you now put exclamation in front of it. Okay? Don't put full stop and don't leave it without, okay? Put, you know when you put exclamation, it means this thing is powerful, okay? So you say, I am not a bastard. Good. So that's what you will put there. Glory to God. Holy Spirit, I love you. And that topic was not, the topic was not coming before, okay? So, but that one, at least this one, you remember, okay? That you are not what? Good. So, Hebrews 12. So, let's start from verse 2. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set. Now, for me, listen, I like it when people open Bible. It's good. So, when you open Bible, you're reading, okay? See, You are a believer, all right? So you are a believer, so you need to learn how to open Bible. Praise God. So you open Bible, or sometimes for the sake of time, you can join, okay, because we made it easy. You can read it here while you are jotting the scriptures down. Okay, so you jot the scripture down and you can read from the projector. But it's also good if you can open by yourself and you are reading it. So you are relating with it. And don't do like this. Don't be like, oh, I know what the scripture says. No, we don't know. For example, see, anytime I'm reading the Bible, till tomorrow, till today, till this morning, I'm always reading it like I'm just trying to read it for the first time. Amen. It is the word of God. So we are reading it. So you must ensure that you are teachable. Hallelujah. Say, I'm teachable. Yes, because you're actually teachable, because if you are born again, so I believe that you have the Spirit of God in you, and that Spirit is a teachable spirit. So those who are not born again, yes, we understand. Okay, but if you are born again, you have what? A teachable spirit. And that's what we are telling sometimes. Some people say, well, my husband does not have a teachable spirit. If your husband or your wife is born of God or filled the Holy Ghost, such a person has what? A teachable spirit. So, and that's why most of the time you will remind the person. Okay, that you have a teachable spirit. Let it come out. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Let it come out. You are not showing your teachable spirit, but you have it in you. It's not like you're upset that you don't have a teachable spirit. Your problem is too much. No. So you remind the person, if he's born again, if the person is not born again and you're telling the person has a teachable spirit, you are lying. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Any born again child of God who is filled with the Holy Ghost has what? So you do what? You have what? A teachable spirit. Good. All right. So Hebrews 12. Are you there? So we started. So looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, okay, what happened? Endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endures such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Verse 4. Look at it. Verse 4. He said, you have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So he's telling the Hebrews, okay, those that he's writing to, that, hey, you guys, you have not fought, or you have not resisted against what? Blood. In other words, you have not, I'll read Amplified Version for better English. He said, you have not struggled and fought agonizingly against sin, or nor have you yet resisted and withstood to the point of pouring out your own blood. So what he's trying to say to help you here, he's telling, and by the time we finish, you understand clearly. He's telling, Lord, I don't want to be fast. So I want everybody to understand. So the writer of Hebrews, okay, is writing to the Hebrews, and he's telling them that you have not fought to the point of death. You have not stood your ground to the point of death. In other words, you are easily shaken. Now, you could have opposed the resistance, okay, to the point of, yes, we are ready to die. So he started by saying that Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. And I told you this, that look at it. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in the flesh, he was beaten, flogged. They took him to the cross. So he's saying that Jesus Christ, he was insulted by sinners. Crucify him, and yet he kept quiet. Yet he stood his ground, even to the cross. And he said there was a joy that Jesus was thinking. So, and I told us this before, that what Jesus was thinking, okay, was you and I, was the new creation. So he was thinking of us while he was going to the cross. And that is why it was easy for him, in a way, to absorb the tension, the punishment, the flogging, the crucifixion, because of the joy that was set before him. Because many sons will be brought into glory. So listen, so he said, so who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he went to the cross. So he's saying to you, as a believer, now look at Jesus. Despite the insult and everything, he went to the cross. He died. He was buried. He resurrected. He said, but you have not fought. You have not resisted even to the point of death. Ordinary little things, little challenge, little, you gave up. Amen. Ordinary little challenge, you gave up. Now, Jesus Christ saw Koboko. What do they call Koboko? Cain. He saw Cain with blades. He saw the nails. He saw the hammers. And said, yes, we'll go. You did not even see nails. You did not see Koboko. Amen. Ordinary little challenge, you gave up. So that is what he's trying to say here. I'm coming somewhere. Okay, are we together, everybody? We have not even started. Look at it. Where did I stop? Verse 4. He said, you have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. We are going to explain what he meant by sin. Yeah. Now, listen up. Now, the concept of sin. When you're reading the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrew, sin in the book of Hebrew is not, sin in the book of Hebrew is not lying. Or fornication. No. No. And that is what, that's one major error. The book of Hebrew, sin. When you see sin in the book of Hebrew, it's not about lying. It's not about fornication. Now, in other parts, for example, in Romans and all those things, now you can see sin and you can clearly see, okay, this is talking about fornication, lying, stealing, and all those things, okay? But in the book of Hebrew, it was talking particularly about a particular sin. Now, look at it. Okay, for the sake of study, Hebrews 10, go back to 10. Now, look at, maybe to give us a little background of why the book of Hebrew was written. So, the book of Hebrew was written for one purpose. Number one, in the Hebrew church, so, according to the law, okay, it is not, okay, the Jews, they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, or Jesus is the Christ. So most of them do not believe. So those that still practice Judaism today among the Jews still don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God till today. Okay? So in the days of Jesus, in the days of the apostles, lots of them still didn't believe. Now some had believed and had crossed. For example, Paul, Peter, the disciples. So they had already believed and they have already crossed from Judaism. They have embraced the new life. So they are now disciples. They are now Christians, or better still, believers. So the Jews. Now, in the law of Moses, are we together? Are you following me? In the law of Moses, it is a sin for a Jew, and we are going to touch it today. It is a sin for a Jew to interact with a Gentile. Okay? It is a sin. So when that's why it is, for many of their relationship, a lot of things were forbidden. So it is a sin for a Jew to interact with a Gentile. So that's why you would see that the Samaritan woman, who came to Jesus for healing, and Jesus was talking to her and says, I cannot give the children's bread to dogs. And the woman said, hey, even the crumbs that fall from the table of the children, even the dogs can eat out of it. And Jesus looked at the woman and said, I have not seen such a faith in Israel. Why? Because at that time, Jesus practically came for the people of Israel for a reason.
He came for the whole world, though. Don't get me wrong. He came for the whole world, but for 3.5 years of his ministry, the focus was the Jews. And why? Because they had the law for so long, and the law had been so strong in their mind that it's difficult for them to switch. So he decided to stay with them to help them to focus on the ministry with the Jews to redirect their focus. Then after his death, then the gospel will now spread to the whole world. So at that period, you now see some Gentiles like a Roman soldier coming out of the blue and say, oh, I want healing. I want salvation. So Jesus said, not yet. Should not be yet. Let us focus on these people first. So while he was doing that, most of these guys were grabbing healing beyond the protocol. And so anytime, if you see that all the people that Jesus told that they have great faith, most of them, okay, are all Gentiles because they came from behind and snatched salvation and healing. Are we together, everybody? Okay, I'm rushing because of time. So now, in the days when they had already went after Jesus dead and the disciples were preaching the gospel, there were some Jews who are practicing Judaism who had already believed the gospel, so they are now Christians. In a way, they are Christians. Some of them are not yet fully Christians. They are not sure. Some of them will come to meetings, but they are not sure if it is true that Jesus is Christ. They were not sure. Some of them were not sure. Now, some of them, so those that were Jews, that were still practicing Judaism, they were going to those that were Christians and telling them that you are a liar. The Jesus you are following is not true. So, but they are all Hebrew people. They are all Jewish people. So the writer of Hebrew now wrote to the Hebrew church to correct that. For example, when he said that, do not forsake the assembly of the saints. He was talking actually to those guys because many of them stopped going to meetings. Why? Because when they come to meetings, in Christ Jesus, there's no Jews, no Gentiles. All of us are children of God. So they are now ashamed to go. Because if they go, they were mixing with the Gentiles. And other Jews will now be seeing them. And will be seeing them as sinners. So some of them were sneaking to meetings. Some of them decided not to go again. So he's now saying, do not forsake the gathering of your saints together. Because we are all one in Christ. Amen. So that's why, for the sake of what we're doing, that's why the book of Hebrew, if you read from Hebrews chapter 1 till the end, it was a defense. So the writer of Hebrew was defending that Jesus is the Christ. I want to give you the assignment. Go and read Hebrews 1 till the end. You would see clearly all these things I'm talking about. That is there. That is the reason why he's using what was in the Old Testament, okay, to explain, to compare with Jesus. We had said this before. Hebrews 1 compared Jesus with angels. 2 compared Jesus with Joshua, angels. 3 Joshua, Moses. 4 with Joshua. And 5, 6, 7, the priesthood order of Jesus with the Aaronic order of Jesus. So he kept comparing it. Then in Hebrews 11, he kept comparing. In Hebrews 12, he said, you have come unto Mount Zion. You have not come to Mount Sinai. You have come unto Mount Zion. It's different from Mount Sinai. Are we together, everybody? So the book of Hebrew compares Jesus, the authority of Jesus. Why was the writer doing that? He wants to convince the people to strengthen their faith. So look at Hebrews 10, for example. Hebrews 10, 26. Now, for example, Hebrews 10, 25. Amen. Hebrews 10, 23. He said, let us hold fast the confession of our faith. Without what? Let us hold fast what? Confession of our faith. Without what? Are you following? He's saying, what is the confession of your faith? That Jesus is the Son of God who died for us. So he said, hold it fast. Hold fast the confession. That's why most of the time, if you see in Hebrews 3:6, he said, that you hold fast. He said, Jesus is the Son over the house. He said, hold fast to him. So he kept talking about holding fast. Be firm. Okay. Amen. Are we together, everybody? this thing, is it too hot here? Do you want air conditioned to? Okay, good. So that you can hear well me. You know, if it's too hot sometimes. Okay, look at it. Hebrews 10, are you there? 20, 23. He said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Without what? For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But exhorting one another and so much more as we see what day, the day approaching. Jesus is coming. 26. For if we willfully sin. So what sin is he talking about here? If we willfully draw back. So after, why? See. Look at it. He said, if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, and is there what? There remaineth what? What is he talking about? See. There. Amen. 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 Please, Emma, listen now. Just follow. So look at it, okay? So in the Jewish book till today, if you go to Israel and you meet a Judaized person, He's still expecting the coming of Jesus. Not second coming, the first coming. So he's still expecting that the Son of God will come and will die for the sin of the world. Something that happened 2,000 years ago. So why a believer is expecting the second coming, the Jewish man is a Judaist, is expecting the first coming. So it is in the first coming that he will die for the sin of the world. So he's saying that if we willfully draw back sin, hey, there's no other sacrifice in front. There's no other sacrifice. Look at it now. He said, if we sin willfully after that, we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. No. So you are on your own. If you say, well, maybe if I draw back, maybe another one is coming. You are on your own. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is very risky. To draw back and say, I'm expecting another one. And when he will now come, he's now coming the second time. Not for as a savior, but as a king. Yes, amen. For his people. Those that have received the spirit. Are you following something here? Did you get something? Good. So look at it. Where did I stop? So he said, for if we willfully sin, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, we shall devour the adversary. Now, okay, let's jump because of time. Go to Hebrews 3:6. Are you there? He said, but Christ as the son over his own house, whose house are we, if we what? If we what? The confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. So you see what he's doing? He's saying, hold fast. Now, Hebrews 3:14, are you there? What did he say? He said, for we have made partakers of Christ. If we what? Oh, the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. So now look at Hebrews 10. Go there, Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, God. This is what I was doing. It's the introduction. Hebrews 10, are you there? 10:32. 10:31, let's start from 31. He says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hand. See, that's why I'm saying to many people, see, I've said it before, it is true that we receive eternal salvation in Christ Jesus, okay? But, you know, the question is not about heaven or hell, okay? It's about eternal life. But this is it, eh? This is it. A man who draws back, the Bible says, my soul have no pleasure in such. You see, that is what the Bible calls about sin unto death. When a man draws back. Now, this is not when somebody put a gun on your head and say, well, confess, say Jesus is not... Say, you are no more a Christian. They say, I'm not a Christian. Say, you go to hell. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about you are convinced in your heart. That's, hey, after you have sinned willfully. He said willfully, not under pressure. Are you hearing what I say? Not under pressure. Willfully, you draw back. You consider the fact after the knowledge of the truth. It is evidently set forth before you, but you draw back unto perdition. Such exists. That perdition exists. Are you following me here? Yes, sir. Am I too fast? No. Okay, cool. All right. Are we there? Where did I stop? 31. He said, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the Lord. He said, but call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated. After you were illuminated, are you following everybody? After you were illuminated, what happened? He said, you endured great affliction, partly why you were made a gazing stock both by reproach and affliction, partly why you became companions of them that were so used. So he now says, let's jump, verse 235. Can you read 35 together? Cast not away, therefore, what? So you will see clearly he's trying to call their attention. Don't cast away your confidence. Hold fast. Hold firm. So when he talks about willful sin in Hebrew, he's not talking about lying fornication. As he's talking about you drawing back after you have seen the fact. The people he was writing to are people who don't even lie. They don't lie. They don't. These are people who see the law strictly. They don't wear the what you are wearing, jeans. They follow the law strictly. They have believed the gospel and they are still, they are still devoted to the law. Though they have believed Jesus. He says, see, if you cast away the confidence, he said, what? He said, my soul. Look at the last verse of this place. He says, Hebrews, amen. Hebrews 10:39. What did he say? He said, for we are not of them that what? But we are of them that what? So what do we do? We believe to the saving of soul. We are not drawing back. By this drawing back is not this one. So that's why what we read in Hebrews 12. Go back to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Are you following me? Hebrews 12, he says in verse 2, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Verse 3, he said, for consider him that endures such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest he be weary and faint in your mind. Verse 4, he said, you have not resisted unto blood, striving against what? This particular sin. Tish, you have not reached the point to say, no, they are telling you not to go. Say, no, I die. You want to tell me not to go to believe? No, I die. Because many of them were persecuted, and because of that, they were afraid. You have said, you have not come to that point where you say you die. Look at it. He now says, now, that's where we are going. Verse 5. He says, and you have what? Forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. That's where I'm going all this while. All this explanation perambulating is where I'm going. Now he says, for you have not what? Forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you what? As unto what? As unto what? Children. He said, you have not forgotten what? Such exhortation. Now, this is where I'm going. He said, my son, despise what? No. Now, this is it. So, look at it. So, but the word children, he said, look at it. He said, remember the exhortation. And he talks to, he said, my son. Now, listen to me. It is, okay, let's jump because of, okay, jump to 7. Jump to 6. For whom the Lord loves, just signs, and scourgeth every son whom he receives. So this is where I'm actually going to. If you are a son of God, okay, you will be chastised. There will be a chastening and a scourging. Now, let us even, let's help us a little. See, I think I've said it before to many of us. Now, sometimes when we are talking on pulpit, on stage, everything is sweet. It's sweet, which is good. Sometimes it's not only sweet, sometimes it don't speak to you. But this is it. I've told some people once. I said, those who get closer, the closer you become, amen, the more strict I'll be on you. I'm just talking, even me, ordinary me. Are you going to try and say? I'm saying this, that the Father, God, the closer you get to him, amen, the more what you are saying. The thing is, for this, in this concept, is not even about closeness. Because the Bible calls us children of God or sons of God. Now, because you are a son of God, it means that chastising and scourging is your inheritance. Are we together? She ain't got me. Chastising, okay? So, for example, the same way we say, well, we are heirs of God's promise, I have the righteousness of God, the same way I have the chastising of God, the scourging of God, the same thing. Because why? He said, for whom the Father, the Lord loves, what? Now, we are going to explain it. See, listen up, everybody. In the Bible, okay, there are different people that were called sons in the Bible. And that's why I started earlier, that you are also a son of God. So, there are people, for example, that are Israel, the kingdom of Israel, or Israel, they were called sons of God. or children of God, the people of Israel. Amen. The people of Israel were called sons and children of God by covenant. Deuteronomy 14:1. Look at it. Let's go there. Deuteronomy 14:1. You can help me out with it. Deuteronomy 14:1. It says, I don't want to. Okay. Let's go. Let's. Are you there? So Deuteronomy 14:1, you see God referring to the people of Israel as children. Now, the word children is a strong word. It means you are an offspring. It means you came out from it. I was talking to, some persons, okay, during the week. I said, see, not everybody, everybody on earth are God's creation, but not everybody are God's children. Now, when I mean children means you came out of God. Now, that is by extension in the New Testament definition. But in the Old Testament, are we together, everybody? Listen. The people of Israel were children of God by covenant, not by direct offspring. They were children by what? Deuteronomy 14:1 is there. Malachi 1:6. He says, if I be a father unto you, where is my honor? So you would see several times the Bible use, God use a fathering, patriarchal tone, okay, to speak to the people of Israel. Like, I am a father, like my children. Now, but it is covenant. For example, this guy is also, what's the name of this guy? Adam. Adam is also referred to as a son of God. That is not by covenant, okay? It's by creation. Because he is the first of his kind. All right? So look at it. For example, in Luke, I'm trying to rush to catch up with something. Luke 3. So we see people that were called children of God by what? Covenant. And also another set of people that were called children of God by what? Just being creation. Okay. Just creation. You know, when somebody say, for example, when you say, you create something and say that this thing is my child. Like, is my child. Okay? sometimes I call some of my, creations. I say, you've created something that has never existed, or probably existed, but you are the one that formed it from beginning to the end. Sometimes you relate to such thing as your child. I'm trying to say, this project is my child. So you don't want anything to touch it. So, but does not mean he's your direct offspring. So Adam was as such. So God called Adam my child, as what? My creation, like something that it is I created. And by extension, anyone, we are children of God, but by creation, by extension. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? But look at it. In Luke 3, now, if you get to Luke 3 from verse 22, you will see Luke 3, 22. Luke and chapter 3, verse 22. Are you there? Luke and chapter 3, 22. It says, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape. Okay, verse 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of what? Which was of Eli. Now, listen, everybody. Listen. So he said Jesus was what? The son of what? Jesus was what? Please follow. He said Jesus was the son of Joseph, which was what? Now, okay, the son is in italics in King James, but it's the same. So King James is trying to explain what he's saying, because he would have said, which was of Eli. So it's the same thing as the son of Eli. So if you continue, okay, I think sometimes when you're reading your Bible and you're reading, you get to this son of, begat, sometimes it gets boring. But it's actually going somewhere. But look at it. Are you following? 24. He said, which was the son of Amat, Matat, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Melchi, which was, now if you keep reading and read to the end, because of our time, he got to verse 38, he said, which was the son of what? Enos, which was the son of what? Seth, which was the son of what? And Adam, which was the son of what? So he's referring to, he said, Adam was the son of Adam, so son of God. So by that context, he's just talking about creation. Amen. Now, and again, when you're reading the Bible, I'm going somewhere just for the sake of proper Bible study so that you would understand, okay, where the scripture used patriarchal tone to talk to people. Or when I mean patriarchal, I mean God in the Bible where God calls some people children. I started by saying, by creation, Adam was referred to what? Now, listen, everybody. Remember, again, we've talked about it, that angels cannot be the Son of God. The Bible never, at any point, said angels are the Son of God. Amen. So, for example, if we read Genesis chapter 6, when it says the Son of God met with the Son of Man, he's talking about who? Angels. I'm sorry, no. No, the Son of God met with the Son of Man. He's talking about who? Son of Seth. We read earlier here. He said, Seth, the son of what? Adam. And Adam was, well, look at it. He said, look at it. Seth was the son. Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of what? In this place, he didn't put Cain, of course. Cain lineage is not part of it. So the Seth lineage are what is referred to as the sons of God. Look at, because of our time, we'll just go there briefly. Genesis. Are you following everybody? Just for proper Bible study, Genesis and chapter 3. Genesis and chapter 4, rather, because of time. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. It's verse 25. It says, and Adam knew his wife by knowing. This is, I told us, this is a discreet way of Bible saying Adam, okay, had sex, conjugal relationship with his wife, okay? So it said new. So by knowing, it does not mean he knows his name, okay? Praise God, or knows that name. So look at it again. He said, verse 25, and Adam knew his wife again, amen? And she bare what? A son, and called his name Seth, for God, she has said, has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, which Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also were born a son, which is called what? Enos. Remember we said Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of God, Enos. And then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Another version says, then began men to refer to call themselves by the name of God. So in other words, the Seth generation, the Enos guy, began to see themselves as a covenant, you know, people with God. So they refer to themselves as the sons of God. So these people were the one meeting their children and daughters of Cain. Are we together here? See, it is very clear, even in the Bible, you would see that, God would tell them, he said, oh, don't meet with Canaanite woman. Don't, you're telling the covenant people, are we together? The children of Israel, don't meet with these people. Don't meet with these people. So it has always been a practical thing. So when the sons of God were going to the children of men, he said, my spirit withdraw from them. So it's something that also happened again. Even those that had a covenant relationship with God. Am I communicating to us here? Okay, but let's put that aside. So now, Jesus Christ came and he was called the Son of God three times. He was called the Son of God three times. One, when he was coming out of water in baptism. Then heaven opened and God said, this is my beloved Son. The second time, he was on Mount of Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah. Heaven opened. He said, this is what? My beloved Son. But this time around, he said, hear him. The first time he came, listen. The first time he came out of water, he just said, this is my beloved Son. The second time, when he came on Mount Transfiguration, he says, this is my beloved Son. What should you do to him? Hear him. Why? Because the Moses represents the law. And Elijah represents? Okay, it's the base. Elijah represents what? The prophet. So the law and the prophet, the Son of God. Hear him. Hear him. Hear him. Let him talk to you. Let him tell you things. Amen. So the people, the disciples were looking. I'm rushing for a reason. So the third time, he was declared the Son of God. We were declared it together. Amen. The third time that Jesus was declared the Son of God, we were declared it what? And that is by the power of resurrection. Romans. Go there quickly. Holy Spirit. I don't want to make this a series. Because there's other things that we need to talk about. About how to hear the voice of God. Because how to interpret the leading of God. I won't say hear. How to interpret that God is telling you something. We are still going to look, but not today. Of course. It can't be today. Okay. Romans. Amen. And it can't be next Sunday because a friend of mine is ministering powerfully. Glory to God. Romans chapter 1. Are you there? Look at it. Romans chapter 1 verse 3. It says, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to what? According to what? To flesh. So, ape ni omo Davidi nipa ara. Oh, sorry. What I'm trying to say is this. Okay. Sorry. What I'm trying to say is this. Jesus Christ, like, for example, I am Nife omo Ibiemi, the son of Ibiemi. Why? Through the flesh. So Jesus, the son of David, through the flesh. Son of Adam, through the flesh. Son of Seth, Enos, through the flesh. But look at it. Look at it. Look at it. He said, and declared to be the son of God. How? With power according to the spirit of holiness and by the power of resurrection. So this is what we're trying to say. So by the power of resurrection, he was declared the son of God. And it is the same way we were also declared the son of God when we received the spirit of God. Because when he resurrected, Jesus said this. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and die, it abides alone. But when it comes out, okay, for the sake of those who, okay, let me calm down. So he says this. If a corn, you know a corn? Maize. If a seed, Jesus said, if a seed falls to the ground, it dies alone. If a seed refuses to fall, he's alone. It's just a seed. But when the seed falls to the ground, what do you first experience? Death. He said, but when it starts growing, it will bring forth much corn. So what is Jesus saying? Jesus saying, I am the only begotten Son of God, though. This only begotten Son of God must die. And when he will die, he will now germinate and grow in bringing many maize, many, many sons, which include us, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, despised the deadness, despised, so that we can have many, many maize, we can have many, many corn, many, many sons. So it will not be only begotten the Son of God, it will be plenty, plenty begotten Son of God. And it is at that point that we become what? Children of God, sons of God, by faith in Christ Jesus. The Bible says you all are children of God. How? By faith in Christ Jesus. You have the Spirit of God in you. So you are not a child of God because of flesh or because of creation. You are a child of God because you came out of the womb of the Spirit. So by the womb of the Spirit, I'm talking about when Jesus was in the grave, when he was going to the cross, it was you. They were cooking you. You were growing. You were forming. Morula, everything. Everything was coming to shape. You were becoming the necessary, fetus. When Jesus was dying, was buried, so you came out of the womb of God when Jesus resurrected. So that's why if any man is in Christ Jesus, he is what? A new creation. So when you say that I am a child of God, you are not saying I'm a child of God because, we are all creation of God. No, you are a child of God by the power of resurrection. And if that is very personal to you, then you need chastisement. You need chastising and scourging. What does chastising mean? The word chastising there does not necessarily mean well to deal with you. That's not what it means. The word chastising there is from the Greek word that means tutelage. Tutelage. It means that you are being tutored. Hallelujah. You are being what? You are being tutored. So now, listen, let's go back there. Say, I'm a son of God. I am a son of God. Hallelujah. You know, this morning I woke up in the morning and I was just rolling on my bed. I said, I am a son of God. I didn't even the tune. I was offing key. Amen. I was offing key and going low, going high. At the point I said, I am a son of God. I don't care. Only the living can praise the Lord. The dead cannot do that. It's only the living that can do that. And you need to learn to shout it, that I am a son of God. Hallelujah. You are a son of God because you are born of God. Because you are born of the Spirit, you are a son of God. Look at Hebrews. Let's go back to, where did I start from again? Hebrews. Oh, I won't touch this thing. I won't touch. Okay. I won't touch. We'll go into this one later. Amen. Hebrews 12. Let's just stop in Hebrews 12, the place we are supposed to stop. But, amen. We can't do that. We can't go that far. Hallelujah. Sometimes when you're preparing the message, you don't know where to even stop. You just want to keep going. You feel like you want to pour everything, like everybody should. Let's just know him once, everything. I mean, not just know, not just about knowing, so that we can walk in it. Hallelujah. You wake up in the morning, you are remembering yourself that the power of resurrection is at work in you. That you are a son of God. When I mean you are a son of God, the word son there is heos. It means an offspring of God. The one who came out of God. It's the same thing as techno. There's nothing different. It's just Greek word. See, when you say techno, techno means, amen, it means that, it just means offspring to a child, like somebody that is personally, you know, is like of a natural direct descent. Okay? It's the same. Techno, heos. I'm sorry for those who are. So what I'm trying to say is this. You are a child of God. Amen. Say, I'm a child of God. Say, I'm, you know, somebody said once, I said, I'm a techno. Yeah, you are a techno of God. You are a heos of God. You are also what? A child of God. It's the same thing. It's just semantics. It's just language. How you would say it in Georgian language may be different. Amen. But you are a son of God. You are a son of God. So look at it. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, where we started from. So listen, Hebrews 12. He says, and you have forgotten the exhortation, 12:5, that speaks unto you as unto heos. As unto children. Hebrews 12:5. He said, don't forget the exhortation that speaks unto you as unto children of God. My son, despise not what? That the word chastising means, it means tutelage. It means a system that is provided for your development and growth. Now, as we started earlier, listen, as we started earlier, started explaining earlier, the children of Hebrew, the Hebrew guys, listen, I'm asking you, let's do Bible study here. Bible student, everybody Bible student. What was the problem of the people of Israel again? I mean, the Jews, the Hebrew people. They were not sure. Good. So the writer of Hebrew was writing to them to do what? To correct them. And what he was doing, he was telling them to hold what? Hold fast. So what is that? Chastisement. That is tutelage. That's correction. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? God is not going to correct you with sickness. I repeat again, that is not the way God. How does God correct, instruct, chastise? The Bible says all scriptures are profitable. What? Are given by the inspiration of God. They are profitable unto what? Doctrine, correction, and instruction where? In righteousness. So how will God correct and chastise you? Through his word. True his word. And if God is bringing his word, for example, if God is bringing his word to you to correct you, you as a child of God, you should not say, why is it this? Why is this word speaking to me? Why is this word correcting me? It may come as in when you're reading the Bible. It may come when the preacher is preaching to you. It may come when in your departmental meeting. It may come anywhere. And the word of God is coming to you to instruct you, to call you to repentance, to call you to be stirred up in prayer. Be corrected. It is because you are loved of God. That's why you are being corrected. Not because you are being corrected is not being condemned. Condemnation is a different thing. Being corrected, God will correct you because you are a child of God. If you have not been praying, God will tell you you are not praying. Stop praying. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? God will correct you. Amen. Say, chastisement is an inheritance. Say, I'm a son of God. I can say I'm a son of God. By the spirit of holiness and the power of resurrection. So therefore, Chastisement is my inheritance. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Bow your heads and talk to God. Bow your heads and talk to God. Our time is fast spent. Say, Lord, I thank you for what you have made of me, making me your son. Make me your son. And I receive all instructions necessary for my development, for my tutelage, for my growth, for my development. In the name of Jesus, I receive all of them. In the name of Jesus, I receive all of them. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed.